This is Dr. Max D. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again. At the same time, we do count it our privilege to have you join with us and be a part of the radio broadcast and our Bible study each week at this same time. So at this time, we hope you have your Bibles out as we begin now in Chapter 9 of the book of Revelation and continue our Bible study there. We come here to Chapter 9, and again, we'll give this out here so it will help you. I'd mark it in my Bible if you don't have it there. According to the last verse of Chapter 8, he heard the voice say, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels which are yet to sound." And we have found here that we've had the first four trumpets, and now in the first woe is the fifth trumpet, the second woe is the sixth trumpet, and the third woe is the seventh trumpet. So the fifth trumpet is covered here in Chapter 9 in verses 1 to 12. The sixth trumpet in verses 13 to 21. And then the seventh trumpet in chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. So here we go in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, and we're getting the fifth trumpet now, or the first woe spoken of here, and let's begin in verse 1. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." The star is nothing more than the angel, and referred to there as the star. And that angel is just another angel, not the Lord Jesus Christ, just another angel. Now you must remember that the angels are the messengers of God. Angelos, it means messenger. And they are the ones that carry out the will of God and do His will, do His, and send His messages from heaven to the earth. And in this particular time, the tribulation period, you find out that they are going to execute the judgment of God upon the earth. And here is one of those severe judgments. "And he opened," in verse 2, "the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth had power. And then it was commanded to them," in verse 4, "that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." So we want to stop here and go back here and get a little bit of background, if we may do that, and find out also that God has sealed His servants here so that they are not subject here to these particular plagues. So we see that the apostle next beholds the opening of the shaft. As he sees a mass of smoke pour out, this visionary glimpse into the unseen world corresponds with Luke chapter 16, verse 24. And that is where the rich man was in hell, and the Greek word is Hades, and he lifted up his eyes. We got a glimpse into the underworld. Although the bottomless pit is not the same place as the place of Hades, yet wherever the place of torment is, whether it's for these angels, wherever it might be, it's always associated here with torment and smoke and fire. And in particular, that the unseen chambers of the ungodly are characterized by things associated with intense heat and fire. Here it is smoke in Luke chapter 16, verse 24. It is flames. "The sun and the air being darkened by smoke demonstrates to us that this shaft of the abyss is an extremely awful place, which may not have been opened for a long time. For you see, the smoke seems to have collected in quantity, and now it gushes out. Each night, except during the winter months now, out of the caves of Carlsbad Caverns National Park in New Mexico, there emerges several millions of bats. The skies blackened for 2 hours as thousands follow thousands into the air at twilight and their nightly food gathering vigil. They come as a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. It's difficult to imagine a bottomless pit, which when uncapped gushes forth smoke that darkens the sun and the air. Hard for us to imagine that. The pit is an abyss, and an abyss is a great shaft like a well. Abyss means, literally, bottomless, and that's why it's translated the bottomless pit. This word occurs seven times in the book of Revelation. It occurs twice in other parts of the New Testament. For example, in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, the demons pleaded with Jesus not to command them to go out into the deep. Same word. And when this pit is opened, everything goes, so to speak. And as we can see, we are now, no doubt, seeing a little of what is yet to come, with permissiveness in pornography and obscenity, all allowed to run rampant today in the name of freedom. The same with drugs. And there seemingly is no stop to it, none whatsoever. Now we come over here, and we find here in verse 3, let's read it again. And there came out the smoke of the locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth had power. And in verse 4, it was commanded to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, amid the smoke, John beholds locusts. That's acris, A-K-R-I-S in the Greek, and it's locusts or grasshoppers of that sort, pouring out of the now open shaft. These are given the power of scorpions. The scorpion is a large member of the class of the Arachidina, and they're about 4 to 7 inches in diameter, including the leg spread, which is fairly common in the southern latitudes. These have a fierce sting and are greatly feared for this. Therefore, here, these infernal locusts have the mobility of the grasshopper and the horrible sting of the dread scorpion. Now, we find out, and we see the strange command given to these locusts. Locusts thrive by devouring rapidly that which grows and which is green. But here, these infernal locusts will not eat grass or tree leaves. That's interesting, isn't it? God puts a barrier upon them. He puts a limitation, and he tells them what they can eat. You know, it's an amazing thing to me, like the Kiwana. It eats the leaves of a tree. A certain tree can only live on that. Other things eat certain things, and yet they can't live on anything else. It's amazing to me how God made all of these animals to eat just exactly and make their bodies to thrive off of just certain things so that not everything eats the same thing. There wouldn't be anything left. We'll notice now that they will rather sting and bite humans as do mosquitoes. Yet, amid the seemingly indiscriminate biting done by these, there is an unseen discrimination. They will, in some divine way, not be able to bite those who have been sealed, that is, God's servants. This, however, need not be a surprise to the Bible believer, because in Egypt, if you'll remember, the flies of the fourth plague swarmed only upon the Egyptians and not upon the Israelites. Therefore, will God have mercy even during this awful tribulation period upon those who turn and trust Him as their Savior. Yet, in spite of all of this, most of the people will harden their hearts, as did Pharaoh. And you know, to bring this down to a practical illustration, you know what? We're in a day when drugs are running rampant. Marijuana is seemingly the drug of the day, the seemingly harmless little old drug that won't hurt anyone. It just is nice to take to relax yourself and so forth. The truth of the drug is, and yet many take it to their own destruction. It's an amazing thing about this little drug of marijuana, and I've said this for years. Marijuana is worse in one sense now, follow what I'm saying, worse than cocaine, worse than crack, worse than heroin, because you know what heroin will do. Heroin will kill you if you take too much, if you take an overdose. Cocaine will do the same thing. But marijuana lies to you, and after a period of time, it begins to burn out the brain cells in your brain, and it has some very characteristics, if you've seen as many as I've seen down through the years, whether it be on the police department or whether it be as a pastor. Well, I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases of marijuana where it's absolutely ruined the life of the individual. But you know what they all say? Now, everybody will tell you cocaine's wrong and heroin is wrong, but you know what all of the marijuana people say? It's all right, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. I'm not hurting anybody by taking it. You see, marijuana is the most lying drug that there is on the market. The most lying drug, because it burns, seems to burn those cells out, and you know the characteristics are almost universal. You'll hardly see them ever vary between one individual or another. You know what a few of them are? Number one is they become paranoia. The people that love them, they've got to withdraw themselves because they're always thinking, somebody is out to get me, and they're going to get me, and they're going to squeal on me, and one thing or another. And pretty soon, they withdraw themselves to the only people they can operate in socially is another drug addict, another marijuana smoker who understands the same as them. It's the only people that they're comfortable with. They don't want to be around anybody else. And you know another thing, and I know this is maybe sort of picking, but it's sort of characteristic. Wherever you find a marijuana smoker, you'll start seeing the blinds go down on the windows. Do you know that? Isn't that amazing? I've watched this for years. You'll watch a person and you'll know they're taking marijuana, they're smoking their pot, you know. Pretty soon, you'll watch the window shades come down, and that's the way they'll keep their house most of the time. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? And you know another lying thing about marijuana is it won't hurt you, but they fail to realize it's equivalent to over 30 cigarettes every time you smoke a marijuana. You might as well stick 30 cigarettes down your throat. And you know something about that, another amazing thing? When that marijuana goes down there, God's made your throat so that it has little fine hairs that has a filtering system there to keep the impurities when you breathe the air out or to filter them out. You know what marijuana does? It paralyzes those. Paralyzes that little filtering system that God has given you. And therefore, all the impurities of the air that you breathe go down and the filtering system is rendered inoperative. Therefore, you're much more susceptible to cancer or any other disease because of the filtering system that you have immobilized because you smoke marijuana. And you know another thing, it's very interesting, because just like this, just like it was in Egypt, God put a protection upon his children. But you know what? Sometimes we're so fooled by that marijuana today. You know what? It'll also ruin your family, because if you have children, you're going to find out that they're going to find out about you. And you know another thing that marijuana will do? It'll always make you a liar. It'll always make you a liar. You'll have to lie to your wife. You'll have to lie to your children. You'll have to lie to your family. You're going to have to lie to your friends. And you're going to begin to withdraw. And the only people you can associate with now, you're not going to be able to associate with people who do not take marijuana because you're not comfortable with them now. And then you've been so fooled that your philosophy is, it doesn't hurt anybody just as long as I don't bother anybody. And you withdraw from society. Therefore, your social life is nothing. And if you, your husband or wife, we'll say the woman takes marijuana, smokes pot. Well, therefore, you're limited because she doesn't want to be around the friends of her husband or vice versa. We'll say the husband smokes pot and the wife does not. Then you're going to find out he's going to try to limit her. And you know another thing that's very susceptible about marijuana, what it makes you do? It will make the person smoking marijuana, and we'll say hypothetically that's the husband in this case, he'll always want to cut you off of your friends that don't smoke marijuana because he doesn't want to take a chance of you being exposed or somebody influencing you that marijuana is wrong so he can live comfortably in his sin and destroy himself, you, and your family. That's what marijuana does. Nice little drug, isn't it? Nice little thing to put into your lungs, isn't it? Nice to become paranoid, isn't it? Nice to become a liar because you'll have to lie up one side and down the other. You become an habitual liar. When the truth had fit better, you would lie. You have to drag your family down to the pits of hell, do you not? Because socially you cannot operate, and yet this little tiny drug of marijuana in pot won't hurt anybody, will it? Yes, we're in a time when the permissiveness of drugs, and we're going to see this as we go on in chapter 9, along with adultery, along with many, many things that we have never heard of, along with homosexuality, along with things that pervert a nation and destroy an individual. We're just seeing the down payment, but the time's coming when God says, I've had enough. And in chapter 9, he's pouring out some severe judgments upon those that will not turn to Jesus Christ. And not only does pot not only destroy you, if you're listening, it'll destroy your family. It'll make you have no respect from your children. Your wife will not respect you. People will not respect you. And you've been so deceived that it doesn't hurt anybody. You're totally deceived. I think it's the devil's ace trump. Of all of the drugs taken, marijuana is the most lying drug that will get you in the end. Every time you take a joint, some cells may go by the wayside. They'll never be restored, and yet it's your life. Isn't it amazing how Satan works? Isn't it amazing what he does through this nice little social drug, so-called, when to me, this is Max Yeltsin's opinion, the most damnable drug on the market, because it will always, always lie to the individual, and then when it gets you, and so many people have told me, said, oh, it's not habit-forming. Why do they go back to it year after year after year after year? Because it is habit-forming. It's always habit-forming and always has been. If it wasn't habit-forming, then you would quit it. Of course it's habit-forming. And isn't it amazing? The lying drug will make a liar out of the abuser. Isn't that something? And you know what? You'll become irate with your wife. You'll become irate with your children. And pretty soon, when you're found out about, it will always make you violent, because you'll have to lie, and when the people don't believe your lie, you'll become more violent to try to prove that you're right, and then all the mistakes you make in life, you know what you're going to do with them? You're going to blame somebody else. Marijuana says, it's not your fault. I'm not doing it. You have a right to smoke me. I'm all right. I just want to get you relaxed with all of your problems. What it also does to you and lies to you is, you're not man enough to face your problems. You're insufficient, and you need Jesus Christ. But you've substituted pot for Christ, and you've substituted drugs instead of the Savior, you see. No, marijuana, and you'll die to justify it in order to continue your habit of a drug that says, I'm not habit-forming, but you can't break the habit, can you? If it wasn't habit-forming, you could break it, couldn't you? Because you know that it's no good for you, but it lies to you and tells you, I deserve it. Yes, you not only deserve it, you'll have to pay the price for it. And that is the destruction of your life. You'll not be able to operate in society. You don't want around decent people. And you'll probably lose your home, your children, and your marriage. And you'll be a disgrace to yourself. And at the same time, when all of that's lost, you'll blame somebody else. It wasn't your fault. And marijuana has again lied to you. What a wonderful drug. Well, to the Christian, you don't need marijuana. You need Jesus Christ. And he's willing to free you from that. If you'll turn to Christ, you can face reality, have a happy home, and turn to Jesus Christ, and Christ makes the difference. Well, let's go on now in our Bible study here. We find out here, first of all, that some of the, we're speaking about the abyss now, and we'll just bring out something here, maybe most of you already know it. Some of the deepest areas in the world are found in the oceans. These especially deep areas are called trenches. The deepest discovered trench in the Pacific Ocean is the Mariana Trench, and it's about 36,190 feet deep, or almost 7 miles deep. While in the Atlantic Ocean, the deepest discovered trench is the Puerto Rico Trench, which is about 28,734 feet deep. While the locusts described in these verses may appear strange, I think a person must remember that even today scientists are baffled by some strange new breeds of insects and animals. In the summer of 1969, for example, suddenly the 17-year locust emerged 4 years ahead of schedule. In some areas of Chicago, you'll remember that there was discovered 1.5 million locusts per acre. The plague of locusts can go on for some 20 years until it's killed off by the locust being blown into a cold climate. And you see these now coming out and God using these. Amazing, isn't it? So notice here in verse 5, and to them it was given they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion. Scorpion, as when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death, shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I want to back up to verse 5 here, and this is interesting. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. You know, it's an amazing thing as we contrast this today. We have more teenage suicides than you've ever seen before. It's no wonder, really, why teenagers take suicide. They're taught there is no hell, first of all. And there's thought that you're going to have reincarnation, another damnable satanic lie out of hell. And they're taught that, well, maybe you know there's a better life somewhere else. But you know what? They're not taught hell. They're taught lies. And therefore, predicated upon the lies they're taught, if they really knew what was on the other side after death, if they didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, they would no more ever think about committing suicide and plunging into hell. Into hell, the torment of those who have rejected Christ. And I might say this, Judas went out and committed suicide, did he not? Yes. And you know what? So many teenagers now start out at 10, 11, 12 years old, and they probably had more sex by the time they're 17 than most people had in 2 or 3 years of being married. And you know what? They've experimented with all of this, what's left for them. Well, if this is all to life, just like Solomon stated in the book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote the book of Proverbs, which was with a spiritual mind when he was walking with the Lord. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes when he was in a backslidden state and he was under the judgment of God. And he had tried everything, did everything. He sinned against God. He had many, many wives. He did many things contrary to what God told him he would do and lean you of what God had instructed him to do. He did contrary to that. Then he came to the conclusion that vanity and all is vanity. But here we're going to find out there will be no suicides. Men will seek to die, but they won't be allowed to. And God controls life or death. He says in Revelation chapter 1, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of life, of hell and of death. The situation and the location, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's amazing today, it's as many suicides that we have of teenagers. Did you ever stop to think why, really? Because one reason is, they've tried all the things before they're even 20 years old. They've tried all the things of life, and if this is all there is to it, well then why live? They've also been taught, why not just end it and I may come back as somebody else and experience a better life than what I've had here? And number three is, they're convinced there is no hell. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that. Jehovah's Witnesses say there is no hell. There is no punishment. If you didn't know that, you need to know that. We're not running them down. We're just exposing what they teach. They won't tell you that till they get you indoctrinated. And then they'll slip it into you. But right up front, this is the reason why a lot of teenagers commit suicide. They've been lied to by Satan that there is no hell. They've been lied to by Satan that there's reincarnation. And they've been lied to that when you die, that ends it all, which all three are a lie out of the pits of hell. When you die, you really begin to live. And you either begin to live in heaven or you begin to live in a place of torment called hell. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he cried to Father Abraham. He said, will you go get a drop of water and wet my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. He had a spiritual body, which had feeling to it, had all the attributes of the physical body that he had. His body was buried back on the earth, but he had another spiritual body, and he had a tongue, and he had eyes. He could see Abraham. He could feel, I'm tormented in this flame. I have a tongue. I have a body. I can feel. And he had a mind, the same mind he had on the earth, only this mind's connected with the spiritual body, and he could surely reason, because if you read on in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, he says, go back and tell my five brethren, at least they come to this place of torment. So he had all the faculties in hell after death that he had on the earth while he was alive. In a physical body, he had the same attributes in a spiritual body after the death of the physical body. So the teenagers have been lied to, haven't they? They surely have. But here, they'll be able to suffer torment, but they'll not be able to die. Back to verse 4, and we want to bring out one more thing, if we may. And it was commanded to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Isn't it amazing that God puts his protection upon his servants? If you have your place there, we've got a minute to go back here, and I hope that you will with me. Go back with me to Matthew now. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 10 and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. We'll take Ephesians 1:13 first. In Ephesians, because we find out where God seals his servants. And this is an amazing. If you're a Christian and you're living in the will of God, do you know what? Death cannot come to you until it's permitted by God Almighty. If you're not in the will of God, then you're susceptible to many things that you ordinarily would not be susceptible to, and you do not have the protection of God in your life and on your life. Yes, you can die out of the will of God if you're a Christian and not serving Christ and go to heaven. But the point we're speaking about, how soon are you going to get there? And we find out in Ephesians 1:13, eternally now. Let's read what it says. And speaking about God sealing those, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. You can't trust until you hear the word of truth. The gospel, that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed. It doesn't say after that you're water baptized. Doesn't say after that you're sprinkled. Doesn't say after that you confess to the priest or the Lutheran minister. None of that. Don't confess to me. None of those can ever forgive your sins. But after that you believed. What did you believe? The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And you're believing in him, the resurrected Christ, as the one who forgave your sins. then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What do you mean, Holy Spirit of promise? It was promised in John 14, John 16, I will send you the Comforter after that I depart. So you're sealed, you're sealed. You know, no matter what you do, you can never lose your salvation because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit the minute you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to find out here. That concerns your eternal life. Now concerning your physical life, what is the protection? If we've said that you have the protection of God if you're serving the Lord and obeying Him the way that you should as a Christian. In Matthew chapter 10, He sent out the 12 apostles, and He gave them all of their instructions. And then we come up here to verse 21, and He tells them the things they're going to experience and so forth. And He says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father of the child, and the children shall rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. These are the unbelievers condemning their believing parents and so forth. But it says here in verse 22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. If you are serving Jesus Christ, this is not talking about enduring to the end to be saved as far as salvation. And the reason for that is the 12 he sent out were all saved except for Judas, who was the counterfeit. But he sent them out on the auspices of being saved. And they all were, but you had a counterfeit in there. So, to them that endure to the end, the same shall be saved alive. That's physically. That's not spiritually. They were already saved. Enduring to the end meant to be faithful unto their ministry. And then he goes on down and begins to tell them that, you know, no matter what they do to you, no matter whatever they do to you, you go ahead and put the Lord first. And he says in verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, but ye therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council and will scourge you in their synagogues, and so on and so forth. And he encourages them to go on, you see. But if you serve the Lord, then all hell cannot lay a finger against you. You are under the protective will of God. Only do you take yourself out of the protective will of God and become susceptible to satanic attack and even death, which can take place prematurely to the Christian if they do not keep themselves under the protective will of God. But if you do that, then God says, until your ministry is done and I'm done with you here upon the earth, then I'll call you up to heaven and you'll not die prematurely because of not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So the best protection you got as a Christian is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God at salvation, have the protective will of God by serving Christ, and then to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I see our time's gone. We'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.